That was a rousing rendition of that.
Here we go again.
Here we go again. Today's daf is daf Chof Beis, and we're at the Mishnah on Chof Aleph on the Beis with a rousing rendition by Saba Josh. Let's see how it goes this time.
Look at the Heilige Mishnah, Halacha Gimel.
Okay. So we pointed out that we were going progressively off the main theme of the Misakra, because we started discussing the question of where things were found between the Shofarot, went on to discuss when behemoths are found in Yerushalayim and other Hashashas, and then we've begun to talk about the question of not necessarily finding, but Tuma, where something became Tame, and what we were doing, which is an interesting idea, because certainly doesn't seem to be any relationship between where something became Tame and where it was found. We're going to go through all of the issues of where something was mitameh. So we started talking about parochet shenitmeh, and this idea of placement, by the way, is going to accompany us all the way through the end of the Masechta. And it's fascinating because it even leads to a pattern that includes placement and time and so on in terms of the kachim, bizman she beit hamikdash kayam, bizman shein beit hamikdash kayam, which is one very fine reason to have our siyum on Shivas V'tamas, because that's the closing of the Masechta. Of course, I have some ulterior motives. But okay, so the Mishnah begins with, yesterday we spoke about the parochet that became Tameh, where it became Tameh, and with what it became Tameh. And we go on today to discuss the same issue in terms of Basar Kodesh Kadosh. And once again, our concern is the question of whether something Tameh needs to be removed from the Azara. There's a mitzvah in the Torah called Shiluach Tameh. There certainly are Isurim of being Machnes to Mala Azara. But here it's further complicated by the question of Kol Shetumasai B'Kodesh Srefato B'Kodesh. If something was Kodshim, Kosher Kodshim, and became Tameh, so it's meant to be burned, B'Kodesh, there's a mokum to burn things in the Azara itself. P'suli Amukdashim, burned outside of the Beit HaMikdash. So the Mishnah says like this, Basar Kodesh Kodshim, it depends where they became Tameh and with what they became Tameh. So if it was Nitma, whether it was Be'avatuma or Be'vladhatuma, now Be'pashtus, usually the Avatuma means a Av or Aviavotatuma, comes in contact with a mate, or comes in contact with someone who touched a mate, or with any of the other Avotatuma, Sheretz, Nevela, Balkari, and so on and so forth. Here, the Nonafkamina, whether it was Be'av or Be'vlad, Bein bibifnim, bein bimachutz, whether it became Tameh in the Azara, outside of the Azara, Beit Shammai Omrim, in all of the above variations of cases, Hakol Yisarev bifnim, chutz mishenitma ba'avatuma bachutz. The only case where we would say that something should be burned outside of the Azara is if it became Tameh outside of the Azara, and the level of Tumah that it contracted was the Tumah of an avatuma bachutz. So if any other combination, the other three combinations are all bifnim, all burnt bifnim. So even a vlada tuma bachutz, we would bring the boser in, despite the fact that it was tummy bevlada tuma. And even an avatuma bifnim, we wouldn't take out to remove it from the azara. Strange. Doesn't seem to have any kind of rhyme or reason to it. Beit Hillel omrim, Beit Hillel says on the contrary, Hakol Yisarev bachutz, actually, everything is removed from the Azara. The only case we would burn something in the Azara is if the Tumah was only Bevlada Tumah, and it became Tameh Bifnim, so we don't take it out to burn it. But anything else we would even remove. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, actually, it's all a function of what type of tumah. If it was nitma ba'ava tumah, then whether it's bifnim or whether it's b'chutz, it has to be burned outside. And if it became tumah with an ava tumah, bifnim will remove it right away from the azara. If it was tumah, on the other hand, bivlad ha'tumah, then bein b'chutz, bein bifnim, yisrael bifnim. So the only important issue is not where, but what level of tumah. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Omer, on the contrary, the only important factor is where. Mekom tumato sham srefato. Wherever something became tame, we will not bring it into the Azara. On the other hand, if it became tame in the Azara, we will burn it in the Azara and not remove it. So we have a machlokas, how to define the words avatuma and vlavatuma. Do we define it the way it's typically defined? Or is there something idiosyncratic about our Mishnah? Says Bar Kappora, the meaning of avatuma means a tuma diuraita. Doesn't mean an avatuma. The meaning of a vlavatuma means a tuma midivrehem. That's the only way to make sense of the Mishnah. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it's a classic meaning. Bein zeh o bein zeh, Dvar Torah. An avatuma is an avatuma diuraita, vladatuma is a vladatuma diuraita. So, and I understand, says the Gemara. So how does Rabbi Yochanan make sense of the Mishnah? Kashet Rabbi Yochanan. Let's take Rabbi Yochanan and try to apply him to Beit Shammai. I mean, Beit Shammai omrim ko yisarev bifnim, including, in other words, he's saying, even though something is tamei midioraita, there's no chiyuv of removing it from the Azara. Chutz mishenitma ba'avatuma b'chutz. Unless it was tamei and it was already outside, and the level of tuma was an avatuma. Could you explain to me, according to Rabbi Yochanan, ma bein avatuma b'chutz, ma bein vladatuma b'chutz? I mean, if you're going to tell me there's an afkamina in whether it's really tamei, so I understand. If it's a vlada tuma b'chutz, it isn't really tamei midiraisa. Therefore, the Torah never put his servant bringing it into the Azara. But if you're learning the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning it, both of them are tuma diuraita. So I don't understand. Where did we ever see in a pasuk a difference between the level of the tuma? So it makes no sense. We seem to be forced into Bar Kappora. And the truth is, I mean, it's not only on Beit Shammai that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't make sense. He doesn't make sense to leave it to Beit Hillel either. Afilo al de Beit Hillel, lo mekasha? Isn't there a problem with Beit Hillel too? De Beit Hillel amar hako yisarev b'chutz. Chutz mi shenitma bivlad hatuma bifnim. According to Beit Hillel, we will allow a vlad hatuma to remain in the Azora and not remove it. Why is that? If Beit Hillel holds that an avatuma needs removing, so why wouldn't the old vladatuma needs removing? If both of them are diuraita, I understand according to Bar Kappora. But ma'bein avatuma bifnim, what's the nafkamina? Ma'bein vladatuma bifnim, ma'bein avatuma bifnim. According to the way Rabbi Yochanan is learning, lo zev zed divrei Torahu, aren't they basically the same? I mean, in terms of the din of shiluach and removal of tuma from the Azor, where did we ever see a nafkamina? And yet, despite the fact that we have a problem with Rabbi Yochanan, you should know that the classic approach of the Amoraim to this sugya was focused really on the problems of Bar Kappora, who they held was the pirish, the correct pirish, and nonetheless insufficient. And lo havu bar abonan elo al de Bar Kappora. The questions that they asked were focused on Bar Kappora's approach, that avatuma means diuraita, and vladatuma means derabbanan. And here's how they asked it. Kashe de Bar Kappora al de Beit Shammai. Let's try to understand Beit Shammai aliba de Bar Kappora, which you made it sound like it was very simple. But it isn't really all that clear. Beit Shammai omrim hako yisarev bifnim, chutz mishenitma ba'avatuma b'chutz. So according to Beit Shammai, if it was already outside of the Azor, and it's also Tomei with an Avatuma, so now we're not going to bring it inside. But, I mean, according to Bar Kappora, he's trying to avoid the problem of what's the difference between an Avatuma and a Vladatuma, which is very laudable, and in fact it helps us a lot. But what doesn't help us is if he's holding that Avatuma is a Tuma Dioraita, so what's the nafkamina where it became tame? Ma bein ava tuma bein b'chutz bein bifnim. Zev zeh lav divrei Torahu. Is there really any nafkamina? The Torah didn't make a nafkamina between bringing in and removing. So if you're mechuyev to leave immediately, if something becomes tame, And for Shehiya, you will recall that the din of remaining unnecessarily, or doing a Ishtachavaya, or taking the wrong route, all of those things are the equivalent of bringing Tuma in. So once you're telling me that it's a Diorita, how can he justify the difference that we're saying over here between a Av that was Nitma Bifnim and an Av that was Nitma Bechutz? It's exactly the same thing. Well, that we can explain, you see. Because if you'll notice Rabbi Akiva Shita, began to Rabbi Akiva Omar, Makom Tumato, Sham Tehes Refato. The truth is that Mi'ikar Hadin, Beit Shammai really agrees to Rabbi Akiva's concept, that the Chiyav of Tuma, the Chiyav of Sreifa in the Torah, is to be Sereif the Tameh, wherever it is, not to start transporting it. So therefore, even though Lamaisa, he would have said the same thing, Legabe of Vlada Tuma, but since Midiraisa, Aliba the Bar Kapora, Vlada Tuma is not Tamei at all. There's no Inyan not to be Seraphim in the Azor, because the main Bog, Bokamad Desha, for Kachim that were Ksherim, that just became Tamei, was in the Azor. So therefore he said, look, I agree that there's an Inyan to burn it where it became Tamei, but Vlada Tuma doesn't have really a Chiyav Midiraisa. Because according to Bar Kapora, by definition, Vlada Tuma means the Rabbona. So since Beit Shammai buys into the essential svar of Rabbi Akiva, who holds Makom Tumato, Sham Teis Refato, Bar Kapora ends up making sense in Beit Shammai. Okay, but I mean, does it make sense? Alib de Beit Hillel, it's so Pasha, Alib de Beit Hillel, Afilo al de Beit Hillel, lo mekasha. Isn't Bar Kapora insufficient to explain Beit Hillel as well? Because Beit Hillel amar hako yisaref b'chutz, chutz mishenitma bivlad atuma bifnim. According to Beit Hillel, we have a chiyav of seeing to it that Tuma should be brought out of the Azara. And the only case where we will deal with burning it bifnim, if it's vlad atuma. I understand, but to be consistent, a Vlada Tuma, if you're going to say, why do we leave it inside? Because, after all, Bar Kapora said, Vlada Tuma means it isn't really Tomei Midiraita. It's only Tomei Midirabana. So then be consistent and say, if it isn't really Tomei, and there's an Inyan to burn the Tuma Midirabana in the Beit HaDeshen that's in the Azor, so why not bring it in? Either you are going to treat it like Tuma, or you're not going to treat it like Tuma. If you're going to treat it like Tuma, so then you should take it out. If you're not going to treat it like Tuma, then you should bring it in, even if it was outside. So, I mean, you still haven't really explained anything, I'll leave it to Beit Hillel. So explain to me, Ma bein Vlad HaTuma, if it's Bifnim or Bechutz. Didn't you just say that Zev is at Lomidi Vayemu? Didn't you explain, I'll leave it to Bar Kapora, that it isn't really Tomei Midiraita? Ah, this is another problem. This is begin to Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Shita is that Machalo Mashko Shal Mitzora Mishtalchin Chutz to Shalosh Machanot. Now, the Gra has a different understanding then. Rather, he has a Girsa which Ein Machnisim. We don't bring in Machalo Mashko Shal Mitzora. So it's according to this, even though there's no chiyav on something to be sent out, we find a case where we do have an iser to bring in. That means it's a completely different approach. Nobody else learns like the group. They learn that there's some place that nobody knows of. Nobody ever heard of a sheet of Rabbi Shimon that claims that foodstuffs of a mitzera need to be sent out, which means that there's a din even on things that are Vlad HaTumas. So everybody says that. Where is that? Who knows? We'll take it on faith. The Gra says it's a wrong girsa. What it's referring to is not Ma'achalo Mashko, but rather it's referring to a drosha in the Sifri that talks about the Mishka v'Meishav of a Mitzera. And over there it says, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon, It's usher to bring it in, even though there's no chiyuv to take it out. So once we've identified a mokar midiraisa, that we're more machmer on bringing something in than we are on the chiyuv of removing it, now everything makes sense. Because after all along, what was our whole problem of the inconsistency? That since we never knew of any distinction, legabe tuma, in the chiyuv of the need to remove versus the isser of bringing in, it basically boils down to the same isser, because you'll be over midiraisa on knisa la migdash betuma for not getting out of the migdash betuma. So we didn't understand. How do you explain the difference between nitma bifnim and nitma b'chutz? But once we find a shita that has a moker in the Torah for a difference between the two, so now that we're talking about a Darabonin, it makes perfectly good sense to say that the Darabonin patterned the Din of Tuma on that particular case in order to make that distinction between going in or the Chiyuv to take out, in which case now, Aliba de Bar Kapara, it's perfectly consistent and reasonable to say Beit Hillel Svara, as long as we accept Rabbi Shimon's Nafkamina Lagabe Mishkev Moshev of a Mitzera. You're asking in general why the Rabbanim made
that? Why is it that they make a kula, making it Tamei, the Rabbanim, might be a chumra of a thing which could have been kosher and good? Isn't that a problem?
Are you asking why the Rabbanim would yeah. create a tumah right. on kachim? Okay, this is not our sugi at all, but Lamaisa, I mean, the malis of Kutchim, on the contrary, we're more machmer, even though we won't be geyser cases of sveikas lagabe Kutchim, but we're more machmer on the madrega of Kodesh that should be makabel easier, which are called the malis of Kedusha, and in general our policy is to make it more stringent so that it's more likely indeed to contract tumah. Even though there are cases where we're not gozer tuma of suffering. So that's, but again, it's really not our sugya. We'll see in Chagiga and Yirtzeh Hashem all of these dinam of Chaimer B'Kadosh. But this is a whole perek in Chagiga.
Zuk the Heilige Letzte the Mishneh Halacha Dalet.
Evarei Hatamid Nitanim Michatzi Kevesh Ulamata. Until now, we've been talking about where we found or where something happened to, which is found its mark, so to speak. Now we talk about where to place. So the din was that after the preparation of the Evarim for the Tamid, and we selected the Kohanim with the pious of who was going to bring up the Evarim were brought up, but not directly to the Mizbeach. Instead, they were first placed on the Kevesh, which was the ramp leading up to the Mizbeach. The Kohanim would then run in to say Kriyat Shema, and then would come back and would be Mala the Evorim after Kabbalah's Yichud Hashem. They would be Mala the Evorim to the Mizbeach. In order to clarify, so that there shouldn't be confusion as to which Evorim we're being Isaac with, because they're Evri Tamid and Evri Musaf and so on. So we were Miyachid a place for each set of Evri Tzibur. So the Evrei HaTamid Nitanim Michatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'Ma'arav and Shal Musafim Nitanim Michatzi Kevesh Ulamata B'Mizrach. And the other case that would often happen, of course, is Rosh Chodesh. Shal Rosh Chodeshim Nitanim Al Karkov HaMizbeach. Rashi's Girsa is Milamata, and the Girsa that we have here in the Yerushalmi is Milamala, which would be tremendously different. The Karkov HaMizbeach was the area that was rough and a roughened surface that ran between the Kronot, which was the closest Amma to the edge of the top of the Mizbeach, plus one Amma in towards the actual place where there was the fire, the Makom HaMaracha. And that was a place where the Kohanim would walk, and they tried to make it as safe as possible. And that was called the Karkov. So it was sort of dug out because in order to avoid falling. And there, is, according to our gears, is where we put the Evarim, which would mean that we place them on the actual Mizbeach. Rashi's understanding is we're still talking about the Kevesh, except that the Evrei HaTamid and the Evrei HaMusafim were all put on the lower half of the Kevesh, which was the lower 16 Amot. It was 32 Amot high. It was a 32 Amot run in a diagonal. So the lower 16 Amot was where we placed the Evarim, either to the right or the left of the one who was going up, depending on whether it was the time for the Musaf or the time for the Tamid. Whereas... What? Yeah. It's just to be maskier. It's just that we should point out what it is that we're doing. We like to be mafarsim, the kedusha of what it is. That's why we have mekomot miyuchadim for each thing. Rosh Chodesh, we want to be mafarsim that it's Rosh Chodesh. And this way everyone will know, because it isn't... Remember, they didn't have a calendar that was kavua. So the word got out basically from the Beis HaMikdash. So they put the Evarim of the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh on top of the Mizbeach, according to our Girsa, in order to draw attention to the fact that it was Rosh Chodesh. According to Rashi, it was still on the Kevesh, but it was on the place of the Kevesh that was below the Karkov, in other words, near the top of the Kevesh, which would also be much more visible, of course. Hashkalim va'bikurim inan noagin ela bifnei habayit. There are these two things. We'll see what happens if b'di'evet somebody would give a shkalim bizman hazeh. But shkalim and bikurim have no place unless the Beit HaMikdash is there. Aval ma'aser dagan u'ma'aser be'ima u'bechorot noagin bein bifnei habayit bein shalo bifnei habayit. Mashenken, those things that are halach and chiyuv of needing to give from the Kedushas Haaretz, or the Bechor Behema, which is a din that is not dependent on our making it Kodesh, but rather to Choyvas Haguf on the animal itself that becomes Kodesh, that is Noeg Bein Bifnei Abayit Ben Shalom Bifnei Abayit. HaMagdish Shkalim Ubikurim. Somebody would go, almost everyone except the Rambam learns that this means if someone Bizman Hazeh would go and be Magdish Shkalim Ubikurim, Harezeh Kodesh, it would be Kodesh, and you'd be in big trouble. Rabbi Shimon Omer, HaOmer Bikurim Kodesh, Einan Kodesh. No, you cannot be Magdish Bikurim Bizman Hazeh. The Rambam learned, Shkolim would be Medayik that you can see. It's a machlokas. The Rambam learns that the question over here is not Bizman Hazeh, but rather the question is, if you try to give Shkolim or Bikurim to Perek Abayit, HaMagdish, meaning you take the shekel that was supposed to be given to the Lishkat HaGazit, and you hand it over as standard to Perek Abayit purposes. Can you do that to something that has the Kedusha shekel? Very difficult to fit that approach into our sugya. Ezehu Karkov HaMizbeach. What do we refer to with the Karkov? The Ama Bein Keren LeKeren, and the Ama Makom Hiluch Ragle Kohanim. So the Karkov was the entire, basically two amot towards the edge of the Mizbeach all around. Musvei Shabbat, Musvei Roshei Chodashim, Mikode. What would we bring first? The Karbonis of Shabbos or the Karbonis of Rosh Chodesh? Now we know that normally we say Tadir V'sheino Tadir, Tadir Kodem, and this would not even be a question. Why is it a question? From the very raya that we're about to bring. Rabbi Yirmiyah Sovar Meimar, that Musvei Shabbat and Musvei Roshei Chodashim, as opposed to all other cases of Tadir V'sheino Tadir, that in this case the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh would come before Shabbos. Why would he say such a thing? Chaylei de Rabbi Yirmiyah, Rabbi Yirmiyah's strength and proof is to be taken min hada. Shiro shel Shabbat v'shiro shel Rosh Chodesh, shiro shel Rosh Chodesh kodem. And if you're going to be singing the song, this is really strange because you might be bringing a carbon of Shabbos, but you're going to be singing a song of Rosh Chodesh. And we sing the song of Rosh Chodesh. Why do we do this, Lamaisa? We do it because we need to be mefarsim Rosh Chodesh. So since But he didn't take that into consideration. He said, since it says Shiro Rosh Chodesh Kodem, it appears that Rosh Chodesh comes before Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yosef Shan Yahi. There's no raya from there. That's completely different. Because the Omer Rabbi Chia B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, the only reason we do the Shir of Rosh Chodesh is Kedei Lefarsimo V'Lodia Shu Rosh Chodesh. But in terms of the normal, how in terms of the normal halacha of Tadir V'Sheno Tadir Kedem, we're certainly not going to change the order of the Karbonis. I mean, there wouldn't even have any purpose in that. So what do? Ketzad Ayah said, indeed you bring the Musrei Shabbos. And strangely enough, you say the Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh on the Musrei Shabbos. Because you need to be Mefarsim Rosh Chodesh, not some Akev. What Shira? I mean, even Shira Bechal is a Ma'akev. But the idea of Shira is to be singing on your Korban. So you could be singing on the Korban Musaf of Shabbos, the Tehillah that fits Rosh Chodesh. So there we need to go ahead and be mefarsim Bram Hacha, when it comes to the question of which korban shall be brought first, well, obviously, we have our klal, that if you would have Musvei Shabbat or Musvei Rosh Chodesh, certainly Musvei Shabbat kodmim, al shem kol atadir michavero, kodem et chavero. There's absolutely no reason for us to change the Seder that we were medayik from the Psukim, that Tadir always comes first.
Do they do both Shiras?
Chur or not? Even though it says Kodem. I mean, Kodem can mean Kodem in only terms of which. You know, if you're only going to bring one, which would you prioritize? But the truth is, it gets into a major problem over here, because all of the Mefarshim ask that there's a Beferish, a Mishnah, that it comes first, a Mishnah in Zvachim, that the Shabbos comes first. So, well, what was he asking? What do you mean, boy, Meimar Amar from the Beit of Shira? I mean, he should have himself thought of the Mishnah and then said so. What could it mean? It must mean terms of Pirsum. So the teretz most accepted about how to explain the Mishnah in Zvachim is that he was learning the Mishnah in Zvachim meant Ezu Kodem when you only have one. You only have one animal to bring. But it may in fact be different here. So it gets into that, into the relationship between those two sugyas. Shkalim ubikurim. Now, you'll notice, as Ramati himself was medayik a moment ago, Rabbi Shimon says, Bikurim Kodesh, Enon Kodesh. Somebody who says, Bizman Hazeh, I want to make my Bikurim Kodesh, not Kodesh, Mashma, that he holds that when it comes to the Shkalim, that it would be Kodesh. So this, the Gemara now wants to explore. Hashkalim Kitchu. So as according to this way we read our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon was only arguing about the nature of the Bikurim. But when it comes to Shkolim, it would be made that if you went ahead and you were Magdish, Hareza Kodesh. However, as we often find, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda has a different approach in what he quotes Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Mishum Rabbi Shimon says, Bein Elu u Bein Elu lo kichu. That no, our Mishnah certainly was not meant to be read that way. Rabbi Shimon argued on both cases, and we'll see what it's nogea. Let's see how far we should go. Tony, Ger Bizman Hazeh, we have another very, very important issue. Bizman Hazeh, I mean, the only case where we get into problems, Bizman Hazeh, is Bechor. Bechor, there's nothing we can do about. So were we, I mean, of course we have the problems of Trumas and Meisers and so on, what to do with those things. But that's easy to take care of, not to be Bali De Takala. But what do you do if you get a Bechor, and then you'd have to take care of a Korban? That's a really serious issue, and therefore all types of ways of dealing with Bechor, of selling a portion to a Goy in advance, that the Bechor doesn't become Kedesh, so that we do. But there's one area which on the surface is going to cause horrific problems. And that is, and it's strange that people aren't even aware of this, everybody knows that in order to become a ger, you need to have a bris milah, and you need to go to the mikveh. But what not everyone is aware of is that you also need to bring a korban. Because in the same way that Klal Yisrael was nichnas lebris with damim of korbanis at Har Sinai, Every ger has to have a korban that is brought for him. Basically, he can bring kinim, his eilis. He's got to at least do that. Many shitas hold that if he doesn't do that, he isn't fully Jewish. The chidah holds he's not even allowed to marry into the kol.
You're saying
it's exactly what we're running into now. So he certainly is not, one thing is for sure, he's not allowed to eat kachin. Why? Because he's not considered to be a Yisrael, Ben Yisrael HaKshevin. Wow. That's the Rambam's Losh. Kachim he's usher to eat for sure. He'd only be able to eat kachim once the Beis HaMikdash is built and he brings his carbon. Well, but if today the Beis HaMikdash is built, then you would eat kachim already tomorrow.
So then they'll bring his kidney.
Yeah.
What kind of question is that? You're right. So what's the problem? He needs a bris milah, so get a bris milah. What's the problem? There's no problems. There's no problems running.
The first hours are for Gair who needs to bring
it. In your schedule.
Well, that's very nice of you. I suspect the other Kohanim. Sync that up with the other
Kohanim. That's very good.
So what form does the Korban take in this day?
So this is the problem. What is the status of such a Korban, Bizman Hazeh? So the Gemara now suggests that a Ger Bizman Hazeh, Tzarich Lavikino, he has to set aside the money for his Korban so that at least he's now in a position of being accepted in the tzibur. So tzarich lavir kinor v'it kesef v'bizman hazeh. Omar Rabbi Shimon, this indeed was the halacha until Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was mevatal that chiyav v'pnei atakala, because we are afraid of what might happen. Some bad things could happen. Ma'o v'pnei atakala, what do you mean? Bad things. The Tanya, in Magdishin v'lo Marichin v'lo Macharimim. This next piece, of course, is wrong. It's a mistake in Girsa. Take out the words v'lo Magbiim Trumot Masrot Mizman Hazeh. That doesn't belong here. So we are not Magdish things. We're not Marich people. We're not Machrim things to the Berek Abayit. V'im Higdish Oherich Oherim. Of course, take out the next words as well. So the Ohigbiya, no, there's no words Higbiya Ksut, there's only Ohigbiya, which is Trumas Umaisris. Then, if what it is that you set aside for Kodesh was Ksut, Aksut Tisarev, if it was an animal, Abeima Teaker, what do we mean when we say Teaker? Keitzat, Noel Bifanea Delet Vimeta Meilea, you simply stop taking care of it, and the animal dies, but you can't care for that animal and keep it around. So since we're worried, obviously, what is the meaning of such a thing? That we're worried that keeping Hegdish around is going to cause terrible problems. What if somebody doesn't know it's Hegdish and ends up being Moel Behegdish? So we can't leave it around. Therefore, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, better that he shouldn't take it off at all. Now, Lemaisa Chazal learned from the words Ki Yaguritchem Ger, where it says L'dorotechem, that it's clear that there's a difference between the Zman of the Beit HaMikdash and the Zman that there's no Beit HaMikdash, because otherwise how could it say L'dorotechem? L'dorotechem means under any circumstances there are still possibilities of Kabbalat Gerim. Therefore, it must mean that the differences that might normally have resulted from not bringing your carbon as a ger do not apply at a time when there's no Beit HaMikdash. It's not ma'akev. But if there is a Beit HaMikdash, then it immediately becomes a chiyav. So there the question is, was that a takana that they can't be nichlas l'kahal? And the diraisa has only been ogei achilas kachim? Or is there really a difference midiraisa between a ger at the time of a Beit HaMikdash or a ger not at the time of Beit HaMikdash? That already is a very rich sugya for discussion. But it's a fascinating thing that it's because of the takona of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it's become almost forgotten that there are three requirements for a ger and not two.
So a ger
present time is a full ger, even though he doesn't have a
Gerer. He's not a full ger because he won't be able to eat kutcher.
Then retroactively, does he become once he brings his korban?
When the Beit HaMikdash is built.
And then he will have been.
You mean you want to know if he goes back to the future, whether he's allowed to?
Well, if it's a woman, for example.
She can do without the bris mila part. Wait, let me hear what he's asking. That's a fascinating question.
Her children, are they full?
That's a fascinating question.
And the children need to
What's the din of the children of the Gioret who was unable to bring her? Do they have a halacha more than she does of being mutter? That's a fascinating question. I have no idea, but I sure would love to find out. That's like amazing. That's because how could the kedusha on the children be greater than the kedusha of the mother?
They need their own.
Unless it's not ma'akev.
But it's ma'akev the mother from achilas kutcher. So what would it mean that those children can ever eat kutcher?
So what
they have to.
What if someone's great-great-grandfather hundreds of years ago was a garret?
In that case, that's what we would have.
So interesting. Generation, they would have to.
Yeah.
It's certainly no
gear. Wait a minute. No, here it's no gear. The mother, it's on the gear. He's talking about the grandfather.
Well,
that's what, like any case of Geirut is like that.
You have all these people.
That's right.
Yeah. And
they never had a chiyuv to bring if the gear didn't bring a korban.
So she wasn't fully Jewish.
And what would the kids have been?
Where would the children's kedusha come from? It's a fascinating question. This is not the place to discuss it, but the question is raised. It raises all types of beautiful, beautiful, different approaches to the din of what the carbon does. We should have a chabura of going through these things.
Since by coin already, it's only a silsul by the children and the grandchildren. So since by coin, the great great grandmother, you don't have to worry about it. Therefore, I'm not sure about this also.
If there's no basement, that part of the Tokyo, if you're not the
bottle,
it's just not there.
What's no, because we used to have a chiyuv to do what you can, set aside the money. So that way, if the basement is built today, so then you're already in.
Just setting aside, not the actual.
Yeah, just as, no, of course. Just
what I meant by point, since it's a point, I'm going to be honest, it's very much so. Does not apply, but someone's great grandmother was a
descendant of yours is not a problem, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I understand, but that's the question of what is this status? Is it similar to that? That's obviously the issue that he's raising.
Some of the Ethiopians came with the sheep to bring it on the Bishamikas. When they came to Jerusalem, they just have the.
So, what did they do with the poor sheep? Now we have Adorim of Kutchim sheep from Ethiopia. So that's all we need.
What location?
Gee, I wonder where Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was. Let's see, was it Tveria? No. Was it Tzipori?
But it'll be Yavne.
Yavne! Okay, let's take a. Should we go a little bit ahead here? It's really one sugya. Maybe we should leave it for the Siyam. Okay. So we'll leave it for the Siyam, and tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, we will begin our Yuma.
In
preparation for Yom HaKippurim, which is Baal Aleinu Letova. We finish it exactly 1 month before Yom Kippur. Yud Be'elul.
Why in the Gemara is Rosh Hashanah next, and will we skip several of the sectors till we do Rosh Hashanah and then Yom
Kippur? Rosh Hashanah next? You mean the way they printed it?
The way they printed it, Rosh Hashanah, and then
the way they printed it, I can't argue.
But is definitely Yom next on Rosh Hashanah?
Definitely. Really, the Seder of the Mishnah is human. Well, the various printers printed in different ways.
Yuva or Yova? What's the official?
What?
What's the official pronunciation?
Real, the correct pronunciation is Yoma.
Yoma.
But everybody says Yuma.
Why?
Because Bechibur, it's Yuma da Asira or something. All right. It was a lot of fun. Let's do our quick review. Oh, good for Moshe Baruch, this quick review. Does his soul... self-control. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Shnitma ba'ava tuma bein bifnim bein bachutz yisarev bachutz. Shnitma bivlada tuma bein bachutz bein bifnim yisarev bifnim. Rabbi Akiva Omer, it's all a function of makom. Bakom tumato, sham srefaton. Bar Kapora Omer, the meaning of the word avatuma in the Mishnah is the Bar Torah. The meaning of vlatuma is midivrayan. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, bein zev is a divar Torah. Kash Rabbi Yochanan al de Beit Shammai Omer ma ko yisrev bifnim, chutz mishnitma ba avatuma bachutz. Ma bin avatuma bachutz, ma bin vlatuma bachutz. Zev is a lo divar Torahu. And in fact, afilo al de Beit Hillel, lo mekasha. Beit Hillel omrim ha-ko Yisrev b'chutz, chutz ma-shnitma b'vlad ha-tumah b'fnim. Well, what difference is there between a vlad ha-tumah b'fnim and an avatumah b'fnim? Zev v'zev lav dvar torahu. But the truth is that lo havu b'rabonin elo da bar kapora. Kashe da bar kapora al da Beit Shammai. The Beit Shammai omrim ha-ko Yisrev b'fnim, chutz mi-shnitma b'avatumah b'chutz, ma bin avatumah b'in b'chutz b'in b'fnim. Zev v'zev lav dvar torahu. And they explain this shita that Beit Shammai basically agrees with Rabbi Akiva, who holds that makom tumato sham tehisrefato. So memela, if it's possible to be served bifnim, will be served bifnim. Ve'afilu al Beit Hillel lo mekasha, according to Bar Kapora. Beit Hillel omer ako yisarev b'chutz chutz mishenitma bevlada tuma bifnim. Could you explain to me ma bin vlada tuma bein bifnim bein b'chutz? Ze v'ze lo midivrei emu. Make up your mind. Either you're going to view it as real tumor, or you're not going to view it as real tumor. Ah, that's because we find a shita that makes a difference between being yotze and between being nichnas. That mishkavo moshavo shel mitzora mishtachin, doesn't say mishtachin, but as asur lahachnis. According to this, there's an afkamina between knisa and yitziyah. Evor e'ata min nitanim b'chatzi kefer shulamata b'ma'arav. Evorim shamusafim nitanim b'chatzi kefer shulamata b'mizrach. Shaloshe chodashim nitanim al karkov ha'mizbeach melamala. Hashikalim v'abikurim. Einan noagin ela bifnei habayit, aval maaser dagan o maaser beima ubechorot noagin bein bifnei habayit bein shel bifnei habayit hamagdish kalim ubikurim harei ze kodesh. Rabbi Shimon omer haomer bikurim kodesh einan kodesh. Ezeu karkov ha-mizbeach ama bein keren lekeren ve'ama makom hiluch ragli ha-kohanim musvei shabbat musvei rosh chodesh mikodem. Rabbi Yirmiyah Savar Meimar, Musvei Shabbat, Musvei Rosh Chodesh caught me strangely enough. And Chayle de Rabbi Yirmiyah, Min Hada, Shiro Shel Shabbat, Shiro Shel Rosh Chodesh, Shiro Shel Rosh Chodesh Kodem. Om Rabbi Yos is no comparison, Shanya Yi. Taman, the Om Rabbi Chia, B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan, Kedei Lefar Samo, Ulo Di Oshu Rosh Chodesh. Keitzar Ayose, Shochet Musvei Shabbat, first, ויאמר עליהם שירו ראש הראש חודש. ברם האחה, מוספי שבת ומוספי ראש חודש, we know the rules. מוספי שבת קודמים, השם כל התודם מחברו, קודם את חברו. שקלים וביקורים, משמע from Rabbi Shimon's shita, that he's only arguing about how אומר ביקורים in a קודש. משמע, השקלים are קודש. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, משום Rabbi Shimon, בין אלו לא קיצ'ו. Now, another case that wasn't mentioned in the Mishnah, Tani, Ger Bizman Hazet, Zarich Lahavi Kino, Revit Kesef, Omer Rabbi Shimon, Bitla Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Mipnea Takala, Mao Mipnea Takala, Kehada de Tani, Ein Magdishin, Velo Marichin, Velo Marcharimin, Bizman Hazet, v'migdish o ha'erich o ha'cherim ha'ksut te'saref ha'beima te'aker ketzat, what's no aker mean? Noel b'fanei ha'delet v'imeta me'eleha v'ama'ot yochulei ha'ma'ala. So obviously takala is to make certain that nobody is nichshal in kachshah.